Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. An urgent need. So, Amber, why don't you come here? I asked my daughter, the nurse, because she can explain the medical part of it. We have a friend that lives locally, and you can tell who it is and her age and all that stuff, and then tell what medically was going on.
Many of you here may know Joanne Taylor. She's from Felda. She's been a teacher in LaBelle for a number of years. She was my neighbor for quite a while. I formed a very good relationship with her and her daughter. About 2 weeks ago, she got what she thought was the flu, which at that point was the flu. Just a lot of coughing. The coughing led to aspiration, and that led to two forms of pneumonia. As of Monday, her lungs were 91% full of fluid, and the doctor was already letting the family know that they should probably come in and start their course of goodbyes. Since then, and they are Christians, they're believing for total healing. At that point, the lungs shut down. Liver was at bare minimum, and kidneys were done. She was on dialysis already. Very young woman, 40 in her 40s. Since then, their liver has came back. Kidneys have come back, doing better. They were going to take her. She's been on a ventilator for about 8 days now. They went in yesterday to take the ventilator out and discovered there's a hole in the lung. So we know the devil's a liar. So
amen.
That's it.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Father, we know we can't bring her to you and drop her off and have nothing happen. That won't happen.
Amen.
It won't happen.
Right.
No, won't. We rejoice you and glorify you. How can we say thanks? You paid such a price for each one of us. How dare us doubt you? Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. And I praise you and thank you now with all my heart, with these people and all their heart. And her lung is coming back. She's coming back. In Jesus' name, make it so. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory because we love you. Not because we're trying to get you to do something you said you would do. We tell you we love you because we do, Father God. So thank you. Thank you for healing her. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Woo. I'm getting excited about her testifying the rest of her life. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, we've been having a time this week, haven't we? Dear Lord, it kicked off with notable miracles. Hallelujah. We had Sammy here last night, and he looked so good, didn't he? Dressed up and ready. Yeah, Mama's saying, that's my boy. He looked good. That boy looked good. He went back to Dallas today. Was his wife over here with him? God, she's got a new husband, doesn't she? She's going to be shocked. Sammy came in here Monday. Was it Monday night or Sunday night? Monday night, and many of you know this because if you've been here through the week, but he gave the testimony, 10 years suffered with his back. Last year he had a year ago he had a back operation, a spinal operation. That didn't help it. And Mama's saying, that's right, that's all truth. And Sammy said the same thing, and he was suffering. Miracles. He just come up in those lines of miracles, and Pastor Dave ministered over him, and we saw the Holy Spirit grow his leg out and his arms out and make the adjustment on the inside. And he said last night, when I got up, I couldn't hardly believe it. I was just pain-free, and I wanted to test it out, and I saw him leave after we prayed and we were praying for other people, I thought, my God, that's the first time I've ever seen anybody get offended over a healing. It's like, oh, God, here. So he come back in a little bit. And so at the end of the service, one of our elders comes to the door and he goes, you know that guy that Dave prayed for? And he said, I said, yeah, you know the back guy? I said, yeah. He said, he's out in the parking lot. The church is watching him. He's out in the parking lot. He's doing cartwheels. I said, oh, that's good. That's good. I thought he meant, you know, hypothetically, he's real happy. And he goes, no, you don't understand. He's doing cartwheels. So we went out there and 10 years of suffering was gone just like that. But guess what? Thursday night, he was just as healed. There was no cane in his hand like it was on Monday night when he came in here. And he jumped and almost hit the ceiling, I think. He was so happy again. Isabel, she has been walking each night. And it has been about 2 years since. And if you think that we're making her, you can't hear what she's saying to me. When I'm getting her up, she's saying, I want to do this. This is helping me. It's been 2 years since she walked. There's a lot of atrophy in her legs. She's getting her strength back. She got her healing. She's whole. Now she's just getting stronger. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Are you glad to be a part of something that's going someplace? Now, we've been talking about Pastor Dave going into Japan and Brazil and you helping him this week go there. And we appreciate that so very much. Books, people are saying, are there any books? There's not presently. We gave out what we had this week because they're free. It's just a thing of faith. When they get money to print more, they just make more and just give them out. So we're believing God for that to take place. And when we get more books, we will make. But here's the exciting part. All of the book is online. You can go online. And what's that address, Candy? Is it daveroberson.org? Org. O-R-G. And you can download the book. You can read it online or you can download it, print it, and read it and pass it out if you want to get real excited about it. Hallelujah. We appreciate all of you that have come this week and all of your giving so very, very much. Some of you have given to the church this week. We appreciate that. We want to encourage you if you want to continue. In fact, all of everything that you give, when we say this is for Dave, we really mean it. You'd be amazed at the times where people give and they say, this is going to the evangelist or this is going to the preacher. And they take out this, and they take out that, and they take out this. And so what you've given partially gets to them. Everything that you're giving goes to Pastor Dave this week. And if unless you designate, and it does help us if you designate something to go to church, and it's just in a place on that envelope that says other, and if you put church on there and you put the designated amount, then we're blessed as well. But we've been blessed through his ministry, have we not? Fantastic. And we want to send him away. Highly, highly blessed this week. So we're going to ask you to just pray. Consider what the Lord would have you to give again tonight. Some of you are here for the very first time. You're going to enjoy something very special here in a little bit. So please just open up your heart. Ask God what he'd have you to give. Two ways. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If he says a certain amount, give that. If you don't hear something, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, as a man purposes in his own heart. So if you get happy about a certain amount, give that. Hallelujah. And if you're in a quandary, well, I've got two amounts. One's real small, one's real big. The small one's the devil, and the big one's God. So I'm helping you out. See? Hallelujah. Discerning of spirits just came on me right then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you make out, if you're making out a check, you make it out to the Family Prayer Center. And, of course, as I said, he gets it all. So. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for all the things and what is about to explode in this house tonight. You just get gooder and gooder every night. So, Father, we thank you for the goodness of the Lord, and we just thank you for it in advance. We pray that you'll bless this offering, speak to the hearts, whatever you would have them to give, and, Father, help them to hear. And we bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll give you just a second, a little bit to bring this. Pastor Dave can stay seated, but everybody else has to stand. Hallelujah, if you can, okay? And you can take just a few moments to greet each other. It's okay to be friendly in church as you bring this down. And if you don't have anything to bring down, then just to take just a few moments to greet each other. Amen. Hallelujah. Worthy. All right, hold up just a second, guys. We're going to have an anointed woman of God, Miss Loretta Cole. She is one of our ordained ministers. She pastors in Ocala. And don't let her size fool you. She is a giant killer. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you pray over the offering tonight?
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for what's taken place this week. The miracles seen and the miracles unseen, Lord God. Le shokanyun and mukle kunyan and makisha. Honyan makle kuriara bonyan and maki. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just receive. We receive this night everything that you have for us, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that each and every person that's here, exactly what you have. And bless this offering. Bless Pastor Dave. We so appreciate the giving of himself that he gives to us each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. And I want to say, as a pastor, I appreciate all of the elders and the ushers and everybody else that has helped us this week. A pastor does not pastor by himself. And I know this, and I'm not saying this for fanfare. I hope that I'm able to even follow along behind and touch some of the glory that my wife is going to walk in when she gets there, because she has to put up with me. Hallelujah. Miss Gay, if you can hear us, you are my favorite person in all the church. She's over there taking care of our kids so we can have service. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Candy and I will be married 36 years in June. And I was thinking summer, I was going to say. But and you're thinking, well, there's no way possible because you're too young. I know we were married when I was 5. But seriously, we were married when we were 18. And we moved right away to college. And when I was a teenager, a real man of God, seriously, not just a parking lot prophet, but a real man of God called me out of a group in an auditorium, and I was just a young kid, and he prophesied some of my destiny. He said, you preach the gospel, and he said, you will be trained and educated by man, and then you will be trained of God, and that's exactly what happened. We went away, and when I found this walk that we're on, we had not just fallen off a turnip truck. We had been in the gospel for quite a while. I had walked the line in education, and I had been trained. I'd got my degree. I had a clinical psychologist. These were spirit-filled men. They were teaching at now there's the university, clinical psychologist, a clinical psychiatrist. He could write prescription drugs. I guess if he couldn't cast the devil out, he could prescribe it out for you. And Greek theologians. We had one dear man. I mean, he was really a powerful man in the spirit, and I think he could read the Hebrew and speak the Hebrew. He was not Jewish, but he could read the Hebrew and speak the Jewish, or the Hebrew. And I'm just saying all that to say this. I was educated by man. And then we came out, and we were part of a certain denomination, and there was a there was a lot of kind of, have you ever heard of politics inside of church? No, that doesn't exist, does it, Pastor? Oh, yeah. But I was so hungry, I hated that. And I kept crying out, God, you're doing something in the earth. There's got to be, man has educated me. I understand all of a lot of different things. I've went through the New Testament, the Old Testament, the historical values of it. All of those things. And education's not wrong. The only thing is, you're just not going to take a PhD when you're trying to cast out a devil and say, do you see this degree? I'm not sure where, I don't even know what drawer I've got mine in. But I did meet a man, first Jesus, but I met a man that just began to describe to me what I had been longing for and gave me a pathway of deliberateness into the Spirit. And it was one of power. It was one of glory. But it was most of all, it was one of intimacy and love and compassion that loved people more than anything else in the world. And the path that I began to get on was a path that there was no bigs and there were no littles. In fact, the bigger that you were on this path meant the more that you could serve and humble yourself and get into a place where you really begin to love people. And I met that man through Pastor Dave Roberson. So would you give my friend and my pastor a great big hand as he comes? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me see. I believe I walked off my job 49 years. 49 years ago. And after praying in the Holy Spirit to begin to understand the mysteries, speaketh not unto man but unto God, howbeit in the Spirit. He speaketh mysteries. And a mystery is something that really can't be explained, but yet it's powerful. So to pray and speak these mysteries, and then you know you're not special, you know you're not extra somebody, you know. You've got no name that's delivered you out here. You know all of that, you know. But when the Holy Spirit gets in your court, oh, it's over.
Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's over. I remember my first trip to Israel. I saw a French castle. That was interesting. And we got a captain's escort, in other words, in the Israeli army. We had a captain assigned to us to escort us. And the reason is because I had connections with some missionaries there that were really loved. But that captain says, okay, just walk in my footsteps. We're following him into some territory that was dangerous somewhat. So I'm walking in his footprints, you know. And I says, why do you want us to walk in your footprints? He says, because there's bombs buried all over here. And I said, where's your next step? Well, he was serving, the captain was, because these missionaries had a real high authority there. And so they asked for him, and that's who we got. So he came to the meeting we had in their house, in their little church there, and right in Israel, right, Jerusalem. So I was teaching, and one of the captains come. There was actually two, and he came in the meeting. And some people fell down, and he looks, and he says, well, what's wrong with him? I said, well, it was just the power of God knocked him down. He goes, oh. And I stepped over towards him and he goes. But we worked with him some until finally he did stand up and said, I want some prayer. And prayed for him and he landed on the floor. Then when we went on our tour, they wanted to be the ones to take us for sure, especially him. So we got to hear and see the actual real inside, not just tourist excitement, the real story on the inside. We got to see it and hear it. So this Israeli captain, you know, he said, come back. Come back and show you more. Now, I'm almost through my high school, last year of high school almost, I only had half a quarter to go. And I walked out. You know, I'm nothing smart or anything per se, but I stumbled on too. Turning yourself loose and activating the teacher in your life, no matter who you are or how smart you are. When you start praying in tongues, you're not just praying in them because God's interesting, likes to listen to you mutter and stuff. What you're praying is His plan for you. You're actually praying in the authority He's given us to bring things to pass. He gave us mountain moving faith. And now He's directing the prayer according to His call in your life. And when you start succeeding in stuff, you might as well lay down and just give Him all the praise and the honor and the credit. Because it's Him. So here I am. I'm teaching in there. This Israeli captain is just listening to the teaching. And he thought it was funny when people fell. And we prayed for him and he fell. You know, and you know what? Before we left Israel, Jerusalem, before we left, He, God, born again. So you don't know what you're working when you're praying in tongues. This is, the devil's been so careful about this to discredit tongues. They're haywire, they're fanatics. He's been real careful to do that because he knows that the only way to stop us from stomping all over him is to get people to teach us out of it. Oh, well, you don't need that. That's not my foot. My foot. I'm glad for anybody that gets born again through anybody's teaching. If they really get saved, I'm glad. If that's the beginning of the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, and you got a teacher that wants to give you His power, well, I'm not called. Well, the sick aren't called to be sick either, are they? Well, I'm not called. But He still said, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why? Because He said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick will recover. My name, He said, because you've got the use of His name. You're born again, child of God. You're full of the Holy Ghost, and the devil better look out. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So here I am over at Israel, teaching a captain. And the captain's listening, and he got born again, which is almost impossible. And that's just on a trip to Israel. Why? Because I was led by the Spirit. Well, how'd you manage that? By praying in the Holy Ghost like He said. Do I have to be very smart? No, it's probably good if you're not. The world will look at you and say, what you muttering? It's my religion. Holy Ghost is praying through me, the plan of God. Yeah, I was busy. Come on. Come on. When Jesus left and he left the apostles, and they brought the sick in from the cities round about, and it said they were healed. They laid them down where they would just walk by. They were healed, everyone. And what do you think? Pain isn't as painful today as it was in the day of the apostles? Well, no, he just used them because they walked with Jesus. What, is he a respecter of persons now? How many things are you going to call him that the Bible says he isn't? Hallelujah. You know why most people don't walk in what he has? It's not him. He's supplying it. It's you that got something in you think, well, he wouldn't use me like that. I'm not worthy. Oh, I knew what I did yesterday. Gee, you think you're the only one? You think you're the only one? If he didn't use imperfect people that make mistakes, mess stuff up, if he didn't use them, he might as well just end the world. We'll go home now. Thank you. Well, who does he love? Me? I doubt that. Who does he love? Who does he love? I mean, he just hardly sees you guys unless you're sitting in a chair or something. I don't know. Are you out there in thousands coming to God and empty in coffins and stuff? Not yet. Gotcha. Come on, is there anybody else like you? Do you know how long forever is? God was forever before. He was forever. In other words, with him, there isn't no time because there's no time he didn't exist. And from now on, there isn't going to be any time that you didn't exist from this date. See, you're an eternal creature, just as eternal, because you have no end. Doesn't matter where you go. You don't have an end. We were created eternal. That's what we get to do. We get to live eternal. The devil come in, messed it up, but you don't have to walk with him. You should get him off your friends too. He has to listen to you. One time he told me, I hate you more than all of them. I said, if you don't quit complimenting me, I'm going to really get bad with you. You know, you got to... With him, see, when he had to show me, you start thinking we're not what we think we are, the way we think. When you think the way he thinks, then you become someone he loves. And you're going to be with him. You're forever now. You are a forever. There'll never be a time in the future that you're not. You are a forever creature. I mean, for him to have to put me through that school to get me wound up and ready to go out and don't care the cost, don't care where or don't care what. If he wants me to go get people saved, then that is exactly what I'm going to do. 18 billion trillions and 18 billion trillions. So there's 18 billion of trillions clumped together. He might walk up to you and say, do you remember when you were sitting in church? Where at? Well, I can't remember myself, but I do remember Bronk was there. You know, he'd walk up to you in a million years from now and say, hey, do you remember that night you was in Bronx? See, you're a forever creature. You won't be limited. Neither male nor female. In that sense, we'll be like us unto the angels, but different. We'll be different because the angels aren't exactly sons and daughters of God. We'll be all God's sons, daughters, but there's neither male nor female in the new heaven and the new earth. So we'll be all God's offsprings. All of us will be forever. Forever. We're thinking, well, I don't know how forever can be. I've got some good news for you. In His forever, there's no boredom. In His forever, you're alive and you're living on being alive.
Well, I'll forget all of this, won't I?
No, you won't. What do you think? God did something wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. We did.
Well, He'll wipe it away and we won't remember it.
Why? Did He make a mistake? He didn't make the mistake. He gave us some freedom and we used it to fall with. What did He do? He come in and got us back. Hallelujah. And you know what? When the times that you'll talk, and maybe 1,000 years you'll be coming back through in that part and talk some more, and you think we're going to be some kind of like a creature that walks around like saying, no, you won't. You're going to be people that's alive, living forever, and you have no needs. God is your Father. And you think that we're the only creations out there? Come on, He's forever, both directions. We say, well, we're His sons and stuff. Yes, we are. But why, did you only have room for one son? One daughter? Yes, we're His sons and daughters. But then they won't be male nor female. But we'll have Him. He'll be our Father. We'll be fellowshipping with Him. But you think He's forever and doesn't have other things? He has other things. But I do know one thing. I'm a son. You're a son. A better way to say that's an offspring. We say son because of Jesus, but He said there's neither male nor female. Heaven. We're an offspring. Well, how will life be? How will living be? How will it be? I mean, you just do a little bit here and work a little and buy a car and drive it around and go fishing. And boy, he said, this is heavenly. You think that's heavenly? Putting that big old worm flying all around, wobbling and begging you not to put that hook in him. He said, shut up, worm. I'm going to wiggle you out of this. You got that? What'll it be like? In my little thinking, in the younger years, oh boy, we'll stand there and we'll see. No. No. We're a family. We're a family. We're going to live. Basically in His house, we're a family.
Somebody says, well, I want my mansion right next to His throne.
You do? Okay, you can stay here, but I want mine on the new heaven and the new earth. You can stay there if you want, but I want mine on the new heaven and the new earth. Why are you teaching like this? Because that's as real. It's climbing up and becoming as real as in me as is here. Yes. What do you think? Well, miracles are really something. Miracles, that's His nature. That's His first nature. Oh, but yeah, but you should have seen what He did. The only reason He didn't do it before that time is because it would have shocked you real bad like it is now, which meant you think it's hard or something. Oh, did that guy that you brought up dead, did he get up yet? I don't want to go back and check. You can go back and check. Did he get up yet? Okay. Don't you know that the signs He's made available to us, these signs will follow the believer. Raise the dead, cast devils out, speak with new tongues. All these things He said we could do. To Him, to us, it should be a second nature. My God, you're hurting? Why are you laying there hurting when you know He healed you?
What? You mean?
What's the matter with you? Get up.
Oh, you mean God heals?
Oh, come on. We walked way past that years ago. Get up. How are we treating this? Oh, it's a great mystery. I'll tell you, greater God in you, the hope of glory. You're just blessed that He stepped in there, that's all. gave us a new nature, left us in this old body. He's getting bigger family every year from the planet. So he left us in this body. We're still producing him eternal creatures over and over and over again until he comes back. He's trying to get a bunch of us to get the rest of them saved, and he's offered all his miracle working power and everything he has. We sell him short just because we think he kind of cares a little bit or something. You know, he made a way or provided something for us. Made a way, provided something. You're his family. You're his family. The most costly thing heaven's ever sustained is your right to make decisions. It cost him everything. You're right to make decisions, because if you're a robot and I programmed you,
I love you, I love you,
shut up. But when he knows that you're free, you're his son, when you lift your hands and say, I love you, Father God, he knows it's coming from you. And that means everything to him. How'd you like to be God and then look for fellowship somewhere? Where would you get it? If you create something, what program did you put in it?
I love you.
No, you.
I love you.
Oh, would you get anything out of that? No, he's been programmed. I'd kick him out. He knows. You. No matter what hell's done, what the circumstances look like, no matter if it looks like it's all coming to an end, you're not going to live another day. He's not looking at a robot. Means everything to him when you raise your hands and say, Father, I'm not done. I believe I'll hang around another couple of decades.
Will he do it?
Of course he will do it. You don't need to get people saved in heaven. Of course he will do it. I used to have a lot more trouble believing than I do now. What's so hard to believe that you came from someone? What's so hard to believe that our creation basis is on that? He created this planet for a home and created a family. What's so hard that when the devil came with all the temptations and stuff, you know what it means to God when you tell him, you shut up, I am going with you. You get out of my yard. My Father is God. And Father God, I want you to know that I love you. That devil never talked me out of it. I love you. And that devil can just go jump in the lake and warm it up for my next swim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This woman, husband, I mean, his word is truth. It's truth.
Well, men had their fingers in it when it was wrote. And nothing like, yeah.
And if they got too far off of what he said, he'd break them. See, God can't lie. No. He can't. He can't. You got a choice.
Remember when you were a kid? Pants on fire. Didn't want to take time to say the whole thing. Come on. Come on. He's truth. And he cannot lie. Unfortunately, as we're passing through this time of creation, he's even rewarded. He says, I'm going to offer a great reward if you'll stop lying, serve me. Get a lot of people say, and we get a reward for it because you're capable of the other thing. Hallelujah. He can't. See, he can't. He can't lie. This is truth.
Well, men had something to do with it.
I hope so, because there's men receiving it. And women. See, he can't lie. Do you know what that means? He said, you're healed. Oh, my God. I'm healed. This woman had a son. He was born stillborn, not dead. For some reason, he just couldn't move, except his eyes. When he grew up, came a little older, before his dad went to work, he would get him out of bed and carry him in and lay him on the floor where there was activity and things. And that's how he grew. I think he could talk a little, but not clear. Just laid there. The mom would wait till he went to work, the dad, and she would come out and walk the floor back and forth. Then I thank you, Father God, that my son is healed. Yep, my son is healed. Thank you. I give you all the glory and the praise, and how can I say thanks? You healed my son. She did that day after day until he got into his teens. The father would bring him in, lay him on the floor. She'd walk it and pray, feeding him all that, and then put him back to bed. Just day after day, she did that. See, she believed you can have what you say. She believed, see. She did. She wouldn't stop. Well, one day the father put him into the bed and covered him up and everything. They came in and they laid down. They were just laying there getting ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, it sounded like somebody was playing the fifth cantata by Bach on the piano. He says, did you leave the TV on or something? She says, no, I didn't leave anything on. What is that then? And they got up and went in the room. Their son was sitting on the piano playing something like the fifth cantata by Bach, because the mother wanted him to give him a musical gift. He said, son, what happened? What happened? He said, which he couldn't talk very well, hardly at all before. He said, after you put me to bed last night, he said, Mom, every day she'd walk the floor and say, he's healed.
I'm calling you healed. You're healed. You're whole. Day after day, she'd spend some hours out there. They come out, and he's sitting there playing the fifth cantata by Bach or something. He said, "Son, what happened?" He said, "When you put me to bed after you left, Jesus came into my room. And he laid down on the bed beside me, and we talked. And he said, 'What do you want?' And he said, 'I want to get up and I want to play the piano.' And I want to." He said, he got up and put his hand out and he took mine and he pulled me up. And I came in here then. And I sat down to the piano and I could already play it. Boy, they came out and said, 'Jesus came in?' 'Yes, sir.' Ever since he was a baby, the mom spent hours a day calling him home. And one day Jesus came in and done it. He bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. That is truth. I don't have to bear them and suffer under them. He did in my place and died under the penalty of them. I already died with him under the penalty of every disease that could ever be named. And I rose with him. And now I'm not going to, that disease can't kill me again. It killed me once with him. It's not going to kill me again. I'm going to kill it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. You know how powerful his word is. When he said he's going to do something, he said you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can call yourself whole. That old saying, you have what you say, is correct. Whatever you're conformed to, you usually talk about. You want something to change? Change it. Now we know the origin of it. Lay our head down too far to talk.
Hi, wrong.
Well, when I found this out, that I could, went to Israel, that captain fell out under the power on the floor. Captain. He was appointed to us very high up in the government. He wanted to see what that was, knocking the people down. So he got in the line, laid hands on him, right, and he went down. You know what he did when he got up? He raised his hands and says, "Jesus is Lord." And he was a captain. He said, "Jesus is Lord." And he got born again. Then we finished our tour, and guess what? He told us the real story. You know, a lot of those places they bring you to, when it's a guide from there, they dress them up. He told me the real stories on where things happened. And never will forget it. If God can move that way there, what can he do here? You said, did you ask for these kind of appointments and things? No, sir. Not one. And how did you find yourself in those places? I pray and praying in the Holy Ghost and letting Him work my future and then follow Him. I went to Washington a few years ago, and a woman who was responsible for getting the National Day of Prayer established as a holiday met our plane. And she knew the president and everything. This wasn't real long ago. Guess who it was? Ah-da-da-da-da-da. Thank you. Just finished the song, and you know who it is. Ah-da-da-da-da-da-bama. He was his first year or two. It's not been too long. So I went with somebody that knew, and we was met by the woman at the plane who got the National Day of Prayer established as a holiday. And then she asked me, and usually I don't go this far, I'm just wanting you to know, you won't be an average believer if you habitually begin to pray in the Spirit. He'll use you in places that's needed to be used because you can receive what He has. That woman asked me, do I want to talk to Obama? I said, no. You said no. Yes, I did. Why? Because I didn't want to. Well, then they gave me to this other person who, I don't know what you would call him, but he had a high standing, and he was waiting for a man that would come and speak to the Senate, as he was a believer. And when that man couldn't come, because he asked me, and he was a prince of one of the nations, like Pakistan. So he got a hold and said, look, I can't make it. And I was supposed to speak it to the Senate and things. And I was wondering if you would fill in for me. And what am I, a preacher that gets off of an airplane? Did you? Yeah. I did. And what I talked about is, this isn't going to work out unless we invite God in. And you guys really need to pray and find out how to listen for the sake of the U.S., you know. I gave it to him. I don't have that in any messages, really, because I've not talked about it too much. Because I really wanted him to do what he said he'd do, and I didn't want to. So it's been quite a few years ago within. And so I did get to get up then and speak to the Senate, and then I went back home, and I thought, I cried. And I can't help but tell you that I wondered, why would I do that? Why? How did I find myself there? I told him about the Holy Spirit. You know, why be put there and not tell him the truth? I'm not looking for him not to throw me out or walk out or anything. I told him what the real problem was. I said, you need to uphold it, the holiday. You need to uphold it, Christ. He needs to be here. You guys need to know that the answers you're looking for, they lie with God. See? You have to know that. See? So I spoke, and then I wandered back home, and I said, God, is there anything you can't do? Yeah, fail. Look, he's looking for a way into your city here. With his authority and power and legislation, God is looking for people like Bronk that he can use. It's not afraid to take this wherever. Doesn't matter. Even it's to the government here in the city. I don't care. They want me to go talk to somebody, so what? You might be really, really smart. You can do a problem and solve it. You can add and subtract too. And you know what my job is? Adding people to heaven and subtracting them from hell. Do you got that? Why do you keep pushing me back there? If you really need a way out of something, call Bronk, then blame him. That's the word of God in action. Woo! And this is Bronk in action. Did I ever open that? Not this week. That's the shortcomings of knowing the word, you know. You don't. Come here. Is she yours? I suspected that. Big ring, and you're holding her hand and stuff. That was a word of knowledge from observation. Did you know that God is just looking for people that can be trusted? Somebody that'll carry something all the way through. Not back down, not quit. There's something coming your way. Gonna be very strong, and this is the way you can pin it down. It'll have to do with the gospel spreading, but yet not all together like a church or a move or something like that. There's something to do with the gospel and and I just saw, you know, like a sack go by with some money hanging out of it. So whatever it is, it's obviously going to cost. But there's something in your future you're going to do for him. It's pretty big. You think you're ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Then he's going to see it. Hinnada kesha. So you just know something's coming and rejoice. Pray and thank him for it. Okay. Not everybody could do it. So what you're feeling now, who is that power on you? Bring them over there. Now he laid them down to sleep. Like any twins, he'll have their keep. I'll stop there. I do that to them, you know. I'll make them. They'll say something, and I'll carry it on. And
Stop it.